Your reading is from Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 1. I'll be reading verses 26 through 56. If you're using the Pew Bible, it is page 1088. That's where it starts. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. Let us hear God's word. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom, and of his kingdom, there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, now from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. May God add his blessing to this reading of his word. Well, today we continue our series of messages from the first two chapters of Luke entitled Visited by God. The coming of Jesus into the world shows that God is not only aware of us, but that he is concerned for us. And more than just concerned, he loves us. And that's important for us to keep in view because this present world is a world of trouble. Trouble and difficulty. And it's easy, I think, to come to the conclusion that God has forgotten us or that he's rejected us. But if we are to believe what God has said, and if we are to believe what he's done here, then he's not abandoned us, despite our often unbelieving hearts, just the opposite. Far from turning his back on us, He's come near. He's visited us in his Son, Jesus Christ. First, we saw that God visits us in the midst of our oppression under the curse of a fallen world. He visits to set us free from sin and from death. Last time we saw that God visits us even in the midst of our doubt, our unbelief, and he patiently helps and works with us to make us believing. Today we see that God visits us in our lowliness, and he does this in order to lift us up out of our lowly condition. This morning I've 2 points. One is he lifts up those who are of lowly condition. And second, he lifts up those of lowly heart. First, he lifts those of lowly condition. Look at verses 48 and 52. These are part of a section in Scripture that is called the Magnificat. And it gets its name from the word magnify that appears in verse 46. Mary is magnifying or enlarging the honor of God through bringing praise to him. And that's what we do when we gather here to worship him, declare his praises. Well, this is Mary's praise to God for what he is about to do through the child that he has promised to her. In verse 48, she says that God has looked on or he's paid attention to her humble or lowly estate. And he's about to lift her out of it. Because of what God is about to do, she will soon move out of her obscurity. An unknown Jewish girl from an obscure town in Galilee. Soon all generations of people for all time will know who she is and will call her blessed. When Elizabeth blesses her in verse 45, Mary is struck by what God has done for her. And she realizes that this is not something that is going to stop with Elizabeth. Mary's fame will go worldwide. It will never be forgotten. And so we get a picture here of what God is able to do, even for the lowliest among us. And why Mary? Why Mary out of all the other women in history? We're really not given an answer to that here, except for one thing. God favored her. That's what verse 28 says. The Greek word used here, translated as bestow favor or to favor, is related to the word that we translate as grace or gift. For whatever reason, God decided to give Mary from Nazareth this gift, to take a lowly girl and exalt her by making her the mother of the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. But in her praise to God, she recognizes that this is not just about her. It is about her, but it's not just about her. There's something much bigger going on. In verses 52 and 53, she says that through her Son, God will exalt those of humble estate and fill the hungry with good things. With these words, Mary points to the bigger picture. Not just Mary and not just the Old Testament state of Israel is in view here. It's not just that this nation is under the oppression of the Roman government. The bigger picture is that the entire world is in a state or a condition of lowliness. And we all experience this lowliness. Each of us experiences it in different ways and to different degrees. But we all experience it to some point. There's the lowliness of poverty. There's the lowliness of political oppression. There's the lowliness of being persecuted by an enemy. In Psalm 142, David prays to God and he calls out to him and says, "Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me." So this low condition can be brought on by this kind of persecution of others. Lowliness can come from a lack of power, a lack of status, poor health, from the stress that we experience in life that causes anxiety and depression, grief over loss, loneliness. And then there's the lowliness that comes with the prospect of death. In Job 14, verse 10, Job says, "But a man dies and is laid low. Man breathes his last. And where is he?" No one escapes the lowliness of this present world, not even the wealthy and powerful. The Bible repeatedly tells us that there's something that both rich and poor, powerful and weak, all equally share. And that one thing is death. Even the high and the mighty of this world are lowly in a very real way because of that, whether they recognize that or not. And this lowly condition is brought on by sin. We can see this in Psalm 79, verse 8. This is a psalm of Asaph, or one of his sons. And in that psalm, the writer says, "Do not remember against us our former iniquities," speaking to God. "Do not remember against us our former iniquities, our sins. Let your compassion come speedily to meet us, for we are brought very low. Help us, O God, of our salvation, for the glory of your name. Deliver us and atone for our sins for your name's sake." You see what's going on here. This psalm appeals to God for his help. The Old Testament nation of Israel has been invaded by foreign enemies. The city of Jerusalem is in ruins, according to other verses in this psalm. And many Israelites have died. Their blood has been spilt. Now, this may be referring to the Babylonian invasion that took place in 586 B.C. The writer recognizes that the lowly condition that the nation is in is the result of sin. Their worship of other gods, their disregard for God's commands. And so the writer calls upon God to have compassion, to atone for their sins, to deliver them. Now, all of us, every one of us here is a descendant of the first man, Adam. And like it or not, I tend not to like it, all of us share in the guilt of his first sin. And that's because he was our representative. As a result, the world was placed under a curse. It was cast into lowliness. And so, where there was life, there would now be decay and death. And this is the world that we have inherited. It's the world that we've all been born into. Jesus, too, was born into it and personally experienced its lowliness, to death itself. We're going to look at that more next week. But the thing for us to see is that this Son of Mary was born to her so that he could lift her and lift all who believe in him out of the lowliness of this world. Jesus came to remove the misery of this world, the misery that brings us low. Talked about joy in the children's sermon this morning. And there's that verse to the Christmas carol, Joy to the World. No more let sins and sorrows grow and thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found. Jesus has come to remove the curse. He's come to lift us out of the lowliness of this present world. Now, of course, we're not going to experience that in its fullness until he comes again, when the dead are raised to life. But this is the hope that we have because of his coming. And it's the joy that we are able to have, even in the midst of this world, in the midst of our lowliness. This brings us to the second point, that he lifts up those who are lowly in heart. Mary speaks about how the proud are humbled. And the scriptures, she's reflecting here a common theme that appears throughout scripture. In the Old Testament, it speaks about how one's pride will bring him low. This is Proverbs chapter 29. One's pride will bring him low, but he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor. In the New Testament, in the book of James chapter 4, he says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And James is citing the Old Testament here. And then in verse 10 of that chapter, he calls us to humble ourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt us. That reminds me of a song we used to sing. I don't know if people are still singing it anymore, but humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. This is the promise that we have in Scripture to those who are humble in heart, those who are lowly in heart, those who submit themselves to the Lord. We are to submit ourselves before God, to be his servants, to consider ourselves servants. This is what Mary does here. The Lord has called her to bear a child. And she has agreed to do this. But what is her situation, or what will be her situation? Well, she would be an unmarried woman who is pregnant. This had an impact almost immediately. Joseph was ready to back out of the engagement. It only took a vision from God to bring him around. Family and neighbors would no doubt look askance at her, because who would believe, right, such a story? Who would believe her? And no doubt she carried this with her, with some people, for the rest of her life. Later on, she would have to watch her son suffer and die on a cross. She doesn't know this at this point, but that would be part of what she was signing up for when she agreed to do this. And for any of you mothers here who have had a miscarriage or who have lost a child, you can imagine what Mary had to go through. This was not an easy road that she was signing up for. But she's willing to be the Lord's servant in all of this. I am the servant of the Lord, she says. Let it be to me according to your word, according to your will, according to what you have said. This is what it looks like to be lowly in heart before the Lord. It's a heart that believes him, a heart that trusts him, and so a heart that is willing to follow him wherever that leads. It is a willingness to humble ourselves and call God Lord and consider ourselves to be his servants. And Elizabeth recognizes this heart in Mary. When Mary comes to visit, in verse 45, Elizabeth says, "Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." We talked about faith. We talked about belief last week. But the question still stands for us. Are we a believing people? Do we trust the Lord? Do we trust his word and what he has said? And are we willing to follow him, even when the path forward may not make sense to us because we don't see the full picture? Are we willing to trust the Lord, to humble ourselves before him? I'm going to say what I said last week, because I know different of us are in various places in our trust in the Lord, our faith in him, our willingness to humble our hearts before him. And just a reminder once again that God gives grace to those who are struggling with this, struggling with maintaining a truly humble heart before the Lord, and maybe struggling whether to submit to him at all. And so my counsel, as I did last time, was to say to go to the Lord about this. Ask him for such a heart. Ask him to lead you into a heart that is willing to trust, willing to submit to him. Let me encourage you all today in conclusion to be people who are expecting, anticipating the coming of the Lord. Encourage you to live in a lowly world, feeling its weight, because I know you do, feeling that weight, but still encouraged, still hopeful, still joyful, because the promised child to Mary has been born. He's been born, and not only has he been born, he has died to forgive the sins of those who trust in him. And he's coming again to finally remove the curse from this fallen world. So that's one thing, be encouraged, but then also let me challenge you to be believing. Humble yourselves before God, before the child who was born in humility and who is now exalted as King of Kings. And if you do, God's promise is that you will be exalted in the day of his coming. You'll be raised to life forevermore. That is our joy at this season. It should be our joy throughout our entire lives as believers in Christ. May God fill us with that. May he give us the grace to be people of lowly hearts in a lowly world, waiting for exaltation from a Savior who has already been exalted. Let's pray together. Our God in heaven, thank you for the hope that we have, the joy that is ours because of what you have done, and the promise of what still lies before us. We are eager for that. We wait for it expectantly. We pray, Lord, for hearts like the heart of Mary, who was willing to submit to you no matter what direction that would lead her. We ask, Lord, for your forgiveness for our failures in this, because too often we have set out on our own course. We have exalted ourselves instead of humbling ourselves before you. We have thought our ways to be better and more successful than yours. So, Lord, continue to teach us. Continue to be patient with us. Lead us in to that humility before you that we need to have, because we know that it is only as we humble ourselves before you that we will find true exaltation, true greatness, not because of anything in us, but because of your grace, because of your favor that you have shown through your Son. We pray these things, Lord, in his name. Amen.